Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 812 for the week of May 9th, 2026. I'm Chris Privateer. I am not gone this week. I'm back home from my business trip. I'm bringing you this week's show about RPG stuff, right? Yay, RPGs.
Yay, RPGs.
Woo.
Reports of your death were highly exaggerated.
You got it. I have Sam Wachter or Marcello. I actually don't ever remember.
Either's fine.
Either or. Okay. We have Sam Asterix.
I mean, for the purposes
Sam
of the Strix. Website,
yeah.
We professionally go by Wachter.
Wachter is here. Dr. Wachter.
Dr. Wachter.
So I hear, you've been associating with Tim Hortons lately, I hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just completed our Tim Hortons Smile Cookie campaign. We still don't know how much we've made, but the campaign itself apparently has made over $23 million across Canada.
Very good.
Which is fantastic. It means it helps a lot of different charities and a lot of different community groups. So, you know, it was a huge success. I made some ugly ass cookies.
But they were tasty, though.
Oh, were they were tasty.
Okay.
But they were very strict about they need to have a nice smile. And I was like, okay. So mine looked very questionable.
I was just my biggest concern about that is like, do they force you to eat Tim Hortons products?
No,
because I just don't like. I appreciate the charity, but like, they're not on the top of my list. You know?
No, it's again more. We just are trying to like get people to buy the cookies so that we get the money.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
And the hope is that we can do some nice things for the library with that Timmy's money.
Timmy's money.
Especially right. Because, as we all know, what? As we all know, governments are cutting everything. Municipal doesn't matter. So,
what they
support
do.
The things you like.
Before they're the things you
Before
remember.
Before you have to go to Tim Hortons to get money.
And hey,
I mean, Sam, it's still better than going to Tim Hortons and getting coffee.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with that. Like, the only thing I enjoy from Timmy's is I like the cookies, because cookies are actually pretty good.
Okay.
They are.
And the chili is yummy.
Is it?
Never been much
for the Timmy's chili. And
it's got mushrooms in it.
Yeah. And I mean, now Timmy's is also doing specialty Timbits for FIFA World Cup, which I don't know.
I mean, this
Andy,
is the same company
the
that
flavors.
Didn't they also do Timmy's specialty bits. Timbits for frickin' Justin Bieber?
They did. So they like, also have collabs with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, so that's a better one. But
anytime that a Canadian team faces Boston in the NHL playoffs, they rename the Boston Cream Donuts to whatever the team name is, and they put the sprinkles of the color of that team on.
Yes.
So it was if it's like Boston versus Vancouver, they become Vancouver Creams, and they have blue and green sprinkles on.
All right, I got it on the screen right now. By the way, that's Andy Privateer. Hi, Andy. We have Tim's Taste of the Globe on the stream right now, and we have two cream-filled Timbits, which I didn't even know was a thing.
No, they're not as common, but
and then two other ones, and I'm glad they have the flag next to what they're supposed to be, because honestly, without this flag, I have no idea why this Timbit over here would be the French one. Or this is the Mexican one, and this is the Canadian one. At least is
not
red.
Mexican, it's Brazil.
That's Brazil. I'm so sorry. I don't know the flags. What's the bottom middle?
Italy, is Brazil. That- France,
no,
Canada.
No, I had Italy right. Okay.
You had Italy right.
I confused Italy with Mexico because I'm an idiot. All right. So Italy, Brazil, France, Canada. Where is Mexico then?
No, again, it's just those four flavors.
Why is this the entire globe?
You know, I'm not sure because it's one of those. Who knows? Maybe Timmy's during like different rounds.
Oh, here we go.
They'll have different ones, right?
We've got to review them. Okay, the firework Timbit, quote, all right, cake Timbit stuffed with pop rocks.
Yeah. Right. No. I haven't found that
one. That sounds like that'd be a firecracker one.
It's called firework. Cappuccino, pretty good. Cappuccino flavor is present and subtle. The flavor overall was the nicest, in my opinion. Creme brulee chocolate. Okay, that's why that was French. Okay. So, all right. Nothing special. Basically, slightly sweeter chocolate glaze. Cream filling was pretty good. Basically, just Boston cream custard. And then finally, the lime. Disgusting. Some people might like it, but it's basically the honey timbit filled with a bit of custard, and the custard is flavored like artificial lime.
Yeah.
So that's the one for Andy.
I haven't found any of these yet out in the wild. Like, one of our patrons at the library yesterday was like, I found the cappuccino one! And then she ate it in front of me, and then like, she was like, this is just okay.
You can't just go and get a box full of just these?
Is it a prize? I haven't been to Tim's.
Oh, okay,
since having to go deal with Smile Cookie. Because after that, you know, why would I want to go near the Tim's?
You guys are making me hungry.
Sorry.
Oh, that's Kelly Ryan. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Been infecting your ears for 10 years.
Well, and Yay! It rhymes. Who else is here? Matt's here. Hi.
Hi.
Wow, less enthusiasm.
I've only been infecting your ears for 8 years.
Wait, which Matt are you? Mason?
Mason.
There you go.
Mason.
Right, okay. That's why I was down. I couldn't remember your last name, and it made me feel bad.
That's all right, Chris. You'll love this one. So you called me Playtime.
Yeah.
For years. And
because it looks like your name, your username looks like it someone does, tried to say Playtime, but very cutely with like numbers and stuff. All right.
Somebody tagged me on, I don't know, and was like, oh, I've been saying Platy M3 all this time. Was I wrong?
Yes. Thank you, whoever you are.
I was like, oh, man.
Okay. I found out this week why there's an M3 on the end of it.
Oh, yes, Sam. Not Sam. Oh, Paws did find that out.
You're not going to tell us, though? You're just teasing us?
Oh. Well, my last name's Mason.
Uh-huh.
You said that. Mm-hmm. And I am the third.
Yes, Yay! He is Matthew Mason the third.
Now we're fully doxed. All right.
And if my great-grandfather, who I grew up next to, he was literally the house next door. If his middle name was different, I would have been the fourth, because we had four generations of Matthew all out there doing yard work some Saturdays and Sundays. We all lived on the same block.
That's pretty cool, actually.
But I like that.
It was, although I will tell you, that is why my sons are not named Matthew. There's no Matthew in the next generation.
You could add Matthew and your other son Matthew.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The George Foreman way.
Matthew.
You know,
my first year teaching, I had a Clovis the fourth.
That's
and when I met
one.
His dad, and I'm like, well, he doesn't seem any older than like 40. And they're like, oh no, he isn't. He just had a whole family in his 20s, got divorced, and started a new family in his 30s. And so, yeah, he's got a he's Clovis Watson Jr. and he's got a Clovis a third and fourth. I'm like, oh, got it, Foreman style.
Yeah, I didn't know that George Foreman died last year.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Well, you probably should have kept up on Boxing Cast.
I was watching a King of the Hill retrospective, and they showed his guest appearance, and it was like, yeah, RIP, George Foreman, 2019. I was like, what? Because I guess Luann fought his daughter in the series.
Yep.
Like, I hate it when I find out about a celebrity death via random YouTube video. Oh, RIP, George.
May your Foreman grills. You know,
I was going to say, I mean, he survived by about 10 million grills and four kids with the same name.
Somehow we ended up with a George Foreman grill, and I have no idea how.
Do you use it?
No.
You can throw it out.
I think I ended up goodwilling it.
Good for you. It's fine. It's a double-sided grill. I think that's a useful thing.
It is, yeah. We got a bigger one, like, so we could do paninis and everything on it.
There you go.
Panini press.
It's just a sandwich press. But like,
it's a sandwich press. And it's got flat the other way, so you can use
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. I can pop those off, which makes them infinitely more easy to clean than
the actual
George Foreman grill.
It was so bad. It was so hard to clean.
Let me just dangle this wire in the sink while I'm cleaning the rest of it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're on George Foreman cast now, right?
We are. Yep.
I guess.
This is our weekly show about RPG news and reviews and stuff.
But we're mostly just reviewing Timbits and George Foreman grills.
I mean, we could talk about the new Street Fighter movie.
It's not out yet.
We could talk about the new Mortal Kombat movie.
There you go. Second time's a charm.
See that last night, and it was better than it had any right to be.
Well, so was the original one, not any of its sequels. But, like...
It's funny, because Vaughn and I
Wait, but this is a sequel! This is a sequel to the...
Yeah.
And it's still good?
Yeah.
I don't believe
it. So, Vaughn and I watched the 2021 one, because it came out on streaming.
Yeah.
And we apparently have no memory of it, because we were like, well, I'm surprised Goro didn't show up in this new one. Goro showed up in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't remember.
Got it.
And,
oh, you haven't kept up your Mortal Kombat verse life. And,
yeah, because the last movie had this weird self-insert character that didn't show up in the games that nobody liked.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. That self-insert character dies pretty epically in the sequel.
Fair.
So would that be a self-excerpt?
Yeah, and I knew he was going to die the second he said, I have a wife and kid at home. But Carl Urban as Johnny Cage steals the show. I will watch anything Carl Urban is in because he is hilarious, and I love him in The Boys and just his other random characters. Like, I think he shows up in Thor Ragnarok as the guy who's like, and now my stuff.
Am I wrong for being sad that Christopher Lambert isn't Raiden again?
I was kind of sad too.
Like, I want my Mortal Kombat movies to always have the Highlander in them.
I mean, yes.
But I guess it's not an option as time moves on.
But at the same time, they actually cast an Asian actor as
Tadanobu Raiden. Asano, it looks like.
Yeah. So all of the characters in this new one are their canon ethnicity as actor.
How's the new Shang Tsung? Because that's those are big shoes to fill.
He was pretty good.
Aww. I miss Robin Shu. He doesn't do much anymore.
And yeah, there was a lot of good laughs. Although
he was in Aquaman, Sam.
Yeah, but...
Oh, wait, no, that's the new guy was in Aquaman. I
was going to say, I'm like...
Never mind,
Robin Shu is known for Mortal Kombat and Death Race 2000 with Jason Statham.
Hey, he did DOA Dead or Alive and Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh, God, that's right. I forgot about The Legend of Chun-Li.
All right. So I don't have, like, and not that I could show it anyway. Like, I don't have much info on the Mortal Kombat stuff other than Kelly went there. But I have watched the Street Fighter trailer recently. And I don't understand why that movie looks like it might actually be good.
It might actually be good. They show Ken beating up the car.
They have the car.
Orville Peck is in it.
Who's Orville Peck?
Look Orville Peck up. He's Babe.
Orville. Oh, I didn't
He's
even
a gay
finish.
Cowboy.
And he wears a mask, like you he said. Oh, mask. Look at this fancy bandana with strings.
Yeah!
That is styling.
I'm telling you. Like, support Orville Peck.
But I don't like country.
You don't have to like country. Orville Peck is just cool.
But, like, I would have to support him by listening to music I don't like, right?
Not necessarily. Just support him when you go see Street Fighter.
When I go see Street Fighter, just cheer for Vega.
He's Vega now, man. Like,
Vega,
come on.
Can Vega be a good guy?
No.
No? Okay.
But if he doesn't crawl up the wall...
He better crawl up the wall and have claws that get broken. If he doesn't,
exactly.
What are we even doing?
World's over, Chris.
I am just amazed that we're in this era of decent video game movies.
We got rid of Uwe Boll.
That's part of it.
How did we get rid of Uwe Boll?
We stopped making him. We stopped letting him make movies somehow because it's not happening anymore.
Because I thought the whole reason why he was making movies was because he had tax credit or he could get tax credits via the German government.
No, I don't know.
But listen, we're getting decent video game movies. I say decent because Mario Galaxy was just eh. It was more a nostalgia bait kind of movie than having a decent plot, but I was having a good time. I'm looking forward to Street Fighter. I'm looking forward to whatever the new Sonic movie is. It's going to have Amy.
How many Sonic movies are they going to pull out of this reboot? Like, that's getting to four is like you're pushing like what's it called? Shrek, you know, and Minions as far as becoming a series that just falls apart as you add more slop that just goes direct to video. And yet it sounds like so far it's still all right, right?
Well, yeah, they've been progressively better as the series has gone on.
Look at this crap. Look at this photo. They know what they're doing. And this is the movie series that had that first version of Sonic that the internet the internet rightly took apart. Look at this Sonic.
He's got Chip and Dale rightly put back together again.
Yeah.
Some people say that was a New Coke thing.
Yeah.
Where they deliberately put out that bad trailer.
If you, I don't think New Coke was done on purpose either, though. So I think that would be convenient, sure.
Like, look, I'm not saying it's a good conspiracy theory. I'm just saying that it's there.
All right, we got Sonic 4 trailer. Oh, we got the psychic one now. Silver? What are they called?
That's an AI trailer.
Mm. Wait, this is fake? This is a fake trailer?
Yeah.
Ultimate Studios, Keanu Reeves, Oh, it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is it?
Yeah,
fan-made concept trailer. What the heck? You got me.
Made it already.
You got me. What? Jaden Animations is still putting out Jaden Animations. I've got YouTube to watch later. You know, Jaden is a VTuber now. They're Kario Crocodile on Twitch. Okay, does only, like, Andy care about Jaden? It's just me and Andy? All right, fine.
Can't say I'm familiar.
Jaden, you're an artist, Kelly. You know Jaden, right?
No.
Okay, I give up. I give up.
I think I've seen those animations on YouTube randomly.
I think both of you would like Jaden Animations a lot. We're going to have to
Go Pokemon through her back stuff catalog especially.
And select one for you to watch.
Yeah. Also, she has burbs. Two burbs.
We like burbs.
Two burbs and a cat.
All I have is
what's the
dog.
Cat's name? Tostada? Good cat name.
I'll bet that house is the Looney Tunes house sometimes.
Burp.
Unless their cat has
they've
no brain
cell.
They've
dealt with it. I forget what the rules are, but they've figured it out. But yeah. No, you're right.
I like burbs.
I do too, but I can't have one because of my murder beast.
It's true. They will eat your burbs. That's not okay.
They will eat anything except the fancy food that I buy.
All right, so Kelly on the stream right now is Jaden's bird, Ari. You see
love
that? You see this bird, right? And then I want to show you, like, here's what it looks like in the videos. Isn't that adorable?
Yeah.
There are plushies of the bird.
I very badly want one of those rainbow conures.
Yeah, I don't know. So, we should talk about what we've been playing, shouldn't we?
I was going to say, I'm like, so now we went from Timbits cast to George Foreman cast to Burb cast.
I had been out of town for a week and I missed you guys.
I missed you too.
Did you play anything while you were out of town?
So I promised you all I would do two things this week, right? I would try Vampire Crawlers and probably some Diablo 4.
Did not happen.
Failed you all, but most of all, I failed myself. I didn't learn. I didn't grow.
So wait, is this Path of Exile all over again with you?
Yep.
Oh no, Chris. We've talked about self-respect before.
Wait, what? Help me on your take of this one.
Okay.
What do you mean? Are you saying I should respect myself enough that I don't feel guilty about playing the games I love, or I should respect myself enough that I should stop only playing one game? Which way are
I'm
you going
go with
with
the
it?
Latter in
with
this
the last,
case.
With the latter. Because I kid you not, the last show I recorded with this crew, everyone was telling me the other direction.
No, I mean, you should always play things you love. But I also am
of
the
mind they were all like, no, this is the game you like. Don't feel bad playing it.
No, I mean, look at do that. But also,
stop playing
it. I was going to say, you can't come on here and go, I failed you all because I played a game I liked.
Okay, that's fair.
Right? You should be going, you know what? I do not care. I said I was going to play something else. I played this.
All right, you're on their same side then. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just like, have some self-respect.
Well, at least the good news is that if you didn't get into Vampire Crawlers, you probably got sleep.
Also fair.
I stayed up until 2 in the morning last night playing Vampire Crawlers because I was on a good, damn good run.
I wanted to say this during my little intro there where I was apologizing, but I couldn't find it, but I just find it. I just found it, so I want to read it. So, and then I'll let you go, Kelly. Sorry. Stop making excuses. You cheated not only the game, but yourself. You didn't grow. You didn't improve. You took a shortcut and gained nothing. You experienced a hollow victory. Nothing was risked and nothing was gained. It's sad you don't know the difference.
Damn.
So that reading. Is that. If you remember that, that's the jerky gamer who replied to someone who used multiplayer to help beat Melania. In Elden Ring.
No, they used like a cheat engine.
Did
I
they?
Think.
No.
And it was Sekiro.
Sekiro. Oh, I have the whole meme wrong. I'm so sorry. I have to relearn.
And the guy said that he had fun playing Sekiro because he didn't have to worry so much about dying, and some moron had a problem with that. And it's like, why do you have a problem with that? Let him play.
Bond's like, I thought that's what a guy said to his girlfriend for playing mage. Like, no, I think it just got copy pasted into a bunch of contexts.
Oh, the internet.
I mean, okay, but like, sometimes if a game has cheats, you should be allowed to use them. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a shitty game in a few minutes where I absolutely did that. So,
I mean,
and I feel great that I did it that way.
I found a cheat engine that let me do the one thing in Atomicrops that I could not physically do, and that was beat the game with the 5 cat statues up so that I could unlock the final cat statue. I think it's fine to cheat when you just hit a wall.
Well, that or you hate yourself like me.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I saw Sam Marcello Tracy, I was like, oh, God, this isn't going to be good.
So now I'm a little bit more conflicted, knowing that person actually did use cheats on the game.
I mean, yeah, but...
But also, I think I'm over it, and you should play the game however you want to, because I've used cheats on games, too, so...
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
I mean...
Go ahead, John.
I want to take that same cheat engine I have for... It has, like, a whole list of games. I think it's called Wand. I want to take that and use it in Elden Ring so that I can learn how to do more strength builds. And I want to be able to learn how to do it without the stress of having to constantly start over and over again.
Well, that's it. Like, I'm of the mind, again, if a game offers you these options, whether they are accessible or not, you have the right to use them, right? I mean, it's the same with people mods.
We're talking about cheats, though, that aren't in the game.
Okay, but even still, again, just let people play video games. My God, can we stop policing people for wanting to use cheats? Like, you know what? I couldn't beat Celeste without cheats. I'm okay with it because I still got a really good experience playing Celeste. Right?
I couldn't beat either Hades game without the God mode activated. And
oh, is that considered cheating? Because I had that on.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
No thanks.
And I mean, those are wonderful games that I would not get to experience them without that. Because I'm just bad at roguelikes.
Yep, no, and that's why it's like there are things I'm absolutely supportive of in that regard. Because again, everybody has different capabilities. And again, some of us just know ourselves well enough that it's like, I want to enjoy X, right, for the story or for the characters, but I don't necessarily like this particular element because of various reasons, I mean, okay. Whether it's, again, accessibility or whatever.
We've gotten way off. I brought this up just because I wanted to pretend to make fun of myself and saying, because I keep playing the same game, I'm not learning anything or growing or something.
I didn't don't actually like mean making it. Fun of you.
Yeah, okay.
How's that?
I want to hear what other people have actually...
I'll make fun of Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I just played more Project Gorgon while I was traveling and stuff, and then worked, really, because it was a work trip, so did lots of work, even in my spare time, because it's all in my mind. So, did anyone do anything interesting this week, gaming-related? Why are you crying, Sam?
Because I finished Trazia and I wrote the review for the site.
Oh, are we going to talk about that later?
Yeah. Well, I can just make it easy. It sucks. Don't play it.
Okay.
Like... this is one of the one of the few games where I'm looking going, one, my time was thoroughly wasted, and two, this is a Genesis game that people forgot for a reason, because it sucks. And poor Spare Hombres has been trying to tell me, I remember liking it. And I'm like, sweetheart, I love you. You and I have very different tastes. But also, no, this game is actually bad when... defend and move are the same button, and the game does not explain it to you. It's a bad game. When you have cheats on that say, I can get 99,000 coins, and then weapons are more expensive than your infinite money cheat. It's a bad game.
Wait, how is that even possible?
That's what I was trying to figure out, but I couldn't buy anything that was more than that amount.
That's insane.
Well, you turn it on, you get the money, then you turn it off and go earn the rest. Yeah, it just gets you halfway there.
Except for the part where it takes the money away.
Oh, wow, that's bad.
Like, I got miserable, nothing, then. And when I was writing the review, I was like, I am sure we have a retro view of this from Mike Minky. And sure enough, I went looking and I went, oh, shit, Mike and I have the same score. This makes so much sense. Story is bad, characters are bad, controls are bad, the music is probably some of the most irritating I've ever listened to in a very long time, and I question why this game got re-released. Like I was saying to Kelly earlier, when we think of Genesis JRPGs, we think of Shining, and we think of Phantasy Star. Everything else is non-existent, because nobody goes around being like, yeah, I sure want to play Sword of Vermilion. And Tracy is in the same camp. Like, it's forgotten for a reason.
I want you to know Andy just left from the other room but wasn't on mic.
Because of Sword of Vermilion?
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, there's nothing here that, other than, you know, this is clearly a company trying to preserve a lost game. But it's like, it's not a good game, so why are we preserving it other than for the sake of preservation? I mean, that's why we did it with E.T., I guess, right? So Tracy is bad, so I'm going to say instead you should play RoboCop, which I also finished. RoboCop was good. RoboCop Rogue City is so dumb that you get to issue tickets for people committing parking crimes.
Excellent!
Like, that's like my favorite part of the game is just being like, halt, citizen!
We have this lethal weapon cop who's meant for extremely violent criminals. Yep, walking around
except
doing
for the part,
traffic stops. All right.
He's doing perfect. Traffic stops. He also can't run, which I love. Uh-huh. Like, RoboCop can only move very slowly, and his dash is not actually that fast. And it's just, it made my heart so happy, because this is another game that is it technically a good game? No. But does it do camp and fun right? And, like, pays homage to its property? Absolutely. So, this is your call to play RoboCop. And the last thing I'm playing is Quartet.
Hey, I like that game.
Alex gave a glowing review to last year, and I'm playing it, and I absolutely see all the same things he's talking about. Quartet has been so much fun.
Isn't it great? And
it is great.
I'm still a little early from on, the hippo making the scatta. Might not be there yet.
Anyway. I've only finished like the first chapter for everyone except the...
Ben is amazing.
I did Ben. I did Cordelia. Nikolai. So no, it's the shop girl.
You gotta do the girl now. Okay, yay. Yeah, you'll be
and
there
I'm
very
like,
soon then.
I am having a ball. And I'm like, this is the game I would have rather been playing over Trazia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have an obligation that, you know, when we get review codes, we should try to do the job. So I played it so nobody else had to. And please go read my review. I was very angry. So much so I made Matt. I was going to say, so much so that I had Matt try to, like, I had him proof my review because I was like, am I being unfair or am I justified in my anger?
No, it was very well described.
My misery, yeah.
And if that is the stuff that she experienced, then heck yeah, you got to put it that way.
Oh, thanks, Matt. I was like, what were you playing, Matt?
Oh, well, first of all, in the past 24 hours, I'm playing Scramble to get a new Switch 2 because the price, I bet we have that as a news article, or maybe we don't. But
or the price is finally going up.
Yep.
The price is going up.
They threatened it a while ago, so. Yeah.
They did. So they're giving a long leeway. I don't know. I jumped on it right away just as an excuse, but price is going up, what, September 1st or something like that?
Yeah.
In the United States, it's a while. It's going up next week or 2 weeks in Japan. I think May 25th. So it's going to jump over there earlier than it is here, but eventually it'll be $50 more.
$50.
But, you know, my wife and kids play the Switch 2 we bought last year at launch all the time. So it's time to get my own Switch 2. And I did.
Like, wait,
so.
Just because the price is going up $50? I mean, if you really wanted one, wouldn't you have gotten it already?
Well, I was going to, but I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't. I still have a lot of games on Switch 1 I could be playing, but then it's like I go to play Octopath 2, and my son's too busy playing Pocotopia.
Okay.
And
so it was time. Yeah.
Yeah, it was time anyway. That was just like the, hey, this was also a teacher appreciation week. So my wife and I got a lot of lovely Amazon gift cards from families. Thank you. And so it's kind of like three things all combining at once.
I appreciate you giving my kid a passing grade. That's what I would appreciate.
There you go. But last week, I know I talked about this like 6 weeks ago because I tried the demo and really liked it. But I played through the entire game of Voyager Across the Unknown.
Is this a Star Trek Voyager game?
It is.
And wait, really?
It came.
Yes. I was just joking.
You get to play Janeway across the entire series.
Okay.
You are, there are 12 large, they call it sectors, but you're, you know, making your way back to Earth, and you encounter lots of stuff. There's 7 seasons, 180 episodes out there. You encounter stuff like you get a little call from a planet and you're like, ah, we'll stop there. Next thing you know, you're, B'Elanna's trapped down on the surface and has been changed into a human and a full Klingon. And since I made some choices that were not the choices that were made on the show, I ended up with 2 B'Elannas on my ship.
Nice.
Which worked out amazing. I had Klingon B'Elanna, which
did you
was
kill
like
Tuvix?
My strongest character. Oh, I killed Tuvix in a heartbeat.
No, why?
Somebody had to run the freaking mess hall.
All right.
This is a big resource management game. The biggest 2 things is definitely keeping the morale up and having enough food and energy. Those are like the 3 things that
you're like, oh, these are 2 people. They should both exist. But Tuvix, that's a new person. Screw that. I need someone to run the kitchen. This is not
I needed someone to run.
Not happening.
It was a numbers game, man.
If they had each split, they could stay because then I'd have more resources. But if they merge, no, we can't have that. Uh-uh.
If I could like pull them out of Tuvix and have Tuvix end them, it'd be wonderful.
Uh-huh.
3 is better than 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go with the 2 is better than 1. So it's pretty fun. The second time I gave this a go, I loaded it up and I beat the game in like 35 minutes. because right at the beginning of Voyager, there's the whole with the caretaker array, and I was like, eh, that guy died. I'm just going to use his tech to send me back home. Sorry to the Ocampa people that are going to be taken over by the Kazon. The end.
The end.
I made it home. He's like, good hey, job. Mr. Paris, pull us in. Start.
Could you play Earth, as could it. You play as old cranky Janeway too? Or do they not give
I
you
mean,
that?
If you want it. I mean, no.
You know, Janeway who got home the long way, and then you know, you remember the finale. Yeah.
Oh no, she pops up at the end.
Oh, good.
I tell you, the big story beats happen. The big story beats are pretty much like the main thing you need to do in each sector, and then there are planets that have like a little blue insignia over them, and you go to those, and they're all like the side quests.
What system?
And
is
most
this
of
for?
Those are like complete. I think it's on PC and Switch too. It may be on PS5. It was dirt cheap too. I would have got it for $20, and it was not much. And this was new.
This is a new
this
thing,
came out
huh?
In February.
Oh, I was That's thinking so of weird. Something else. Wasn't there a Star Trek game being delisted?
That was the other one. The Star Trek game being delisted. I played that. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. That was, and it didn't get delisted anywhere except on Steam.
Okay.
And Xbox, Steam and Xbox, it disappeared from, but it stayed on Switch. It stayed on PlayStation. The game page is still there. That was the one that played like a Telltale game.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, this one has a lot of choice in it, and you can lose people. Harry Kim died. Harry Kim only made it halfway home.
You gotta start over.
I got a bad
emblem.
Roll.
We no deaths. Fire Emblem.
You got sucked into a black hole.
Good job.
And then I guess I was a little aggressive with the Borg, and Seven did not like me. Seven's like, I can't be on the ship if this is how you're going to treat the Borg. I was like, well,
damn.
You don't need to be on the ship.
There is only one way to treat the Borg.
Yep. Destroy them. So
Seven's objections are irrelevant.
I got all the way to the last chapter. I had to play the last chapter 3 times because, or I didn't have to, I guess, but I played it once and you get home, but like, there's a Borg threat out there, and it goes through like every player that you've recruited along the way or made friends with, and it tells how like their end life, and they're all like looking back like, oh, could the Borg be coming any moment? We're gonna get destroyed. And then I did one. It was a better one. Like, I took out the Borg on the way home.
How long is happy. a casual run through this?
I did it in what, 12 hours the whole game?
But then you did like a 30-minute run, it sounded like.
Oh, I did. So, yeah, I did a 30-minute run. Like, okay, you win. And it shows credits, and I'm like, ta-da! So then I started over and like, okay, let's play the first chapter like Janeway did and strand myself in the Delta Quadrant and start making my way home. And then, I mean, from that point, it's interesting because I've looked up like the playable characters you can recruit. I don't know if you remember the episode where they find a wormhole, but it's only like a tiny wormhole, and they beam a Romulan from the past to them.
No.
And he's there, and they think he's like, they're just, you know, he looks like all the Romulan uniforms because, you know, everybody in Starfleet changes uniforms every time you got a new series, but the Romulans look like the Romulans forever. So they beam this guy on, they're talking to him, and they're like, and he's like, wow, I didn't know you guys had this kind of technology in the Federation. And they're like, this stuff? We've had it for like 50 years. And they look back and it's like, oh, yeah, we beamed this guy to the Delta Quadrant from like 70 years ago. Oops. But I guess you could refuse to send him home and he just joins the crew. I didn't know. I that was too early and I didn't know that. I was like, oh man, he would have been a cool crew to have. Why not?
Against his will, though? Oh.
Yeah. Well, it kept saying that the transporter was going to fail and he'd be scattered throughout time. And
scattered throughout time. Okay.
Because you're beaming him 70 years in the past.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, do you want to continue the transport? It asked me 3 different times to kill the transport. And I will say, you had to keep, you had to have somebody with a high enough skill level to do it. So
need Barclay talking to you from the Alpha Quadrant to guide you on the transporter.
Yep. That's how Harry died. I did not have the skill.
Oh no.
On an away mission to
ants accident.
Yeah, actually, what is it? It was like 3 people to beam back, and Harry volunteered to be the third, and yeah, we just ran out of time.
Poor Harry.
Yep, you're showing the combat there. The combat was all right. I did set it to the easier level because I saw a lot of people having a hard time. I'm like, no, I just want to play the story and make the choices.
I'm just shocked this exists. What a weird time for a Voyager game to come out.
Like I said, this is not clear, like 5 years old. It was just released
at any point now. 3 months ago? Any time from like 10 years ago on is a weird time to release a Voyager game, right? So like, what is going on?
And they got Tim Russ, they got Tuvok, and Paris as voice actor.
Yeah. And also, where's like my Telltale Deep Space Nine game where I get to romance Quark? Come on. Let's go.
Yes.
See?
Same want.
That other Telltale game that I played a month ago, you know, they need to get on making a Deep Space Nine one. They did a great TNG one.
Wait, they did?
Actually, it was. Reddit, Star Trek?
I mean, the one that.
Resurgence.
Oh, right.
Star Trek Resurgence came out 2 years ago. Oh, three, April 2023.
I remember now.
They are dressed in the Deep Space Nine era.
They are.
Uniforms. It was a great game. I had a blast.
Spock shows up, so it can't be bad.
Yeah.
I don't remember it getting reviewed very well.
I want to be
Cisco. You can't. So it's been delisted. It's gone.
Yeah, no. Hold on. No, it's not gone. It's delisted on PC and Xbox. It's still there on PlayStation and Switch.
What?
Yes, and that's the only reason I got it, because a couple of the different places were like, it's going to be gone. It got delisted.
Oh, yeah, they lost their license. Maybe they can't not on, sell it anymore.
It's not on PlayStation anymore. It did stay a lot longer there. Let's see. Is it still in the Nintendo shop?
That's so dumb. I don't like the preservation aspect of these things having a temporary license, but whatever. Okay, fine. So
it may be gone from the Nintendo shop now, too. Maybe it all did go away. It just took longer. But, you know what? Good thing I bought it 6 weeks ago. And
you've played it.
That was fun. I played it. I played this one. Did back-to-back Star Trek games. They were both quite fun. So if you know Voyager and want to play through the series, I had a blast. I was recruiting people. One of the doctors that you just randomly meet and turn into a hologram in one episode, I managed to keep her and around.
Well, this person did what you did. They have Tuvix, Tuvok, and Neelix.
Wait, no. Holy cow, I'm looking at that. How'd they get all three?
I thought you said you could do
that. I did not do that. I killed Tuvix.
Well, see, now you need to...
Now I got to do another run.
Yeah.
So I have all three, Noah.
Obviously, another transporter accident needs to happen to make this possible, right?
Yep.
You got to go.
What's funny is, there's bridge scenes, and they have built-in replacements for everybody on the bridge scene.
Yeah.
Like, because if Chakotay's on an away mission for like 10 turns, they'll just be hey, Commander so and so happened to come up from the night shift and. He'll be doing this.
Yeah, because there's just other commanders around. Uh-huh.
Yep. And when I rescued Seven, you can start recruiting Borg, ex-Borg people, and building them bays, and it causes some discomfort on the ship. But when Seven of Nine decided, peace out, I don't like how you're treating the Borg by trying to infect them with a virus or whatever... her replacement, 9 of 9, was on the fridge for the rest
of
the game.
All right.
Yep. I'm like, all right, I got 9 of 9. I'm good.
With the exact same actor?
Oh, no, they weren't voiced.
Okay.
I don't like this run. This person lost B'Elanna, so.
They did. That stinks.
But they have B'Elanna Klingon down here. They have human and Klingon B'Elanna. All right. So.
Yes.
There you go.
So, Kelly, they don't have voice acting throughout the game, but in every 12, there's 12 chapters. Every chapter is introduced with a long personal log from both Tuvok and Paris. So those two came in and, you know, did 2 hours of audio total. Called it a day. Yeah, you can see the dice rolls going on up there. That little thing going back and forth. That's how I lost Harry. You know, 90% chance I was going to beam him off, but nope. And then I kind of thought, like, well, that's not really going to happen.
Can
and
you
then
save
it moved
scum
to the next quadrant. You can. You can make manual. You can make one manual save.
Oh, boy.
There's not slots. I was having a hard time figuring out where the auto saves went, though, because you could pull back from an auto. At that point, though, I was like, meh, it's just Harry, whatever. I like Harry, but, you know, he's not going to be that random commander. He's just staying a ensign. And then, Kelly, you think you're the only one here who's played this, but I got Procopia going, and I got about 3 hours into that last night. I figured if I'm going to have my own Switch 2 now, I don't have to pick and choose which games to play. I can play all my Switch 2 games since my son will not be on my wand. So I started up Procopia. It is very fun. I'm busy. I'm trying to rebuild the road that runs through the place, because I'll be honest, I'm getting completely turned around every time I want to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't even know where my stupid workbench went to.
Make sure that you keep community boxes handy and put stuff like clay or, you know, stuff that Pokemon process like clay or lumber in the box, and then bring said guy up to the box and they'll start processing automatically.
How nice. That's all. I love automation.
Some other tips. I would say, I mean, I don't know how, if you're just going to blow through the story or if you're going to like want to build stuff or what.
I will not want to build stuff. I will want to like tell myself that I'm going to catch them all and then not do it. So
okay,
we'll pretend I'm going to catch them all.
Because if you're like serious into the building, you unlock a Magnemite form at the end of the game that's basically just for that.
Okay.
But if you don't care, then it's not that big of a deal. I just, I spent a lot of time like dangling from ropes and stuff trying to build things, and then found out about that form and was like, I could have just waited until I finished the game to build some of that.
Nope. So. Long time ago on Dragon Quest Slime Time, my other podcast, we had a guy from Germany on that had recreated all of the Legend of Zelda map on the first Dragon Quest Builders. Mm-hmm. And I guess he did it right around when Builders 2 was coming out and then coming out on PC. And he's like, oh, man. So he did it again on Builders 2. And we were talking to him. He's like, yeah, you know, it's only like 300-400 hours to do that.
Only. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only. And my co-host and I, the guy had been messaging us beforehand. He's like, why don't you guys like, we joked with him. We're like, why don't we build something and you can like judge it while we're doing the podcast. And yeah, both of us had just built little 3x3 mud houses. Cause that's our level of tricking stuff out. So no, building elaborate things that, don't have a set plan that will not be happening.
And,
but I like it. It is a Pokemon Builders 1.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, because I loved Dragon Quest Builders. I couldn't get enough of that game.
Yeah. And I feel like every time we say this, somebody on the podcast is like, what? This is made by the team that made Dragon Quest Heroes and Dragon Quest Builders. Builders and Builders 2.
Which were phenomenal games.
Well, 2 was at least.
They learned their lessons. You're right. What is a stepping stone? 2 is a phenomenal game.
I think the story from 1 is amazing, but like...
No, it started off with a great promise, but I think, you know, right out of the box, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to nail it the first time? And they did not. Even the second one, man, I did not want to escape from that stupid jail island forever. Yeah. And the Moonbrook area took 20 hours itself. It's like, oh my god.
Andy has played through the second one multiple times.
Andy's a better man than I.
Basically on every platform it's come out, yeah.
How do you do those over and over again, Andy?
Because they're fun and I really like them.
But like,
oh, the joy.
The things that they describe, though, don't sound fun, like the Moonbrook or the Prison Island.
Fun to me?
Okay. All right.
There you go.
All right.
I'm looking forward to Procopia, but I have to get through like at least a couple of these Switch 2 backlog games before I jump on that.
Like Zeta A?
Yeah, Pokemon Zeta A, and also I have a new review game that I like just started, Elementalist, which isn't a Switch 2 game. But yeah, I picked up like Dragon Quest 3 on sale like the week that I got my Switch to. So it's like Pokemon Zeta A, Dragon Quest 3, gotta finish this Elementalist and knock out the review. Still working on my review for what was that darn game?
The Eco game.
Eco and the Bewitched Land, because I hate my review right now. I'm probably still going to hate it, and I'm just going to give it to someone to prove it. Be like, make me hate this less, please.
Honestly, it's, well, it sounds like a situation of just, let's get it up, yep, be over it, move on.
I know, and I've been blessed, Dalendar. he won't be on the podcast for a few weeks, but like, he has been listening to me incessantly whine in DMs on Discord about how much I hate this damn review.
Again, it's one of those, sometimes writing a review is literally, you can get your thoughts down pretty simple, and you're like, you know what, it's good. And sometimes you're just like, I am struggling to figure out how to write a 3 out of 5.
And that is, yeah, this is like a, this is going to be probably either 2.5 or 3 out of 5, yeah, reviews. So, yeah, I just need to get over it. I hate it. Thanks, I hate it.
What do you consider to be completely neutral? 2.5 or 3?
3.
Three. Yeah, 3 is the middle ground, right?
3 is always the middle ground.
2.5, 2.5, 3. Yeah, 3 is 5. 5 out of 9 choices. So...
Well, I mean, we only have 9. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. 3 is 5 out of 9.
Yeah. Yep. 5 of 9. The new Borg.
New
Borg. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could have had 5 of 9 instead of 9
you
of 9.
You gotta keep killing those Borgs till you get 5 of 9.
Yep. It's true.
What if you could get them all?
I hate it.
And you get
them all. Oh, my gosh. So, has everybody actually talked about what they've been playing at this point?
I was going to say, I'm done. So,
I did not get Kelly a chance to go into Vampire Crawlers.
All right, sorry, Kelly, you talk about Vampire Crawlers, and then I think we actually should move on to feedback.
Right. Yeah, just briefly, it has sold me. I've been iffy on deck builder games because I had a bad time with Bat and Kaitos. I do not like my RNG being, or my the ability to do damage being dictated by RNG of cards. But Vampire Crawlers has sold me on the deck builder because, my God, when you get a combo going in that game, it feels so good.
It's the first I got to step back a second here. Hold on.
Okay.
So Bat and Kaitos killed you 20 years ago, and we've had how many deck building roguelikes since? Like 3 a week, and you haven't engaged with any
of them? I think 3 a week have come out since 2020. Yes.
Oh, bear in mind, Bat and Kaitos was not a deck builder roguelike, but it did have a card-based battle system. So let me rephrase that. I don't tend to not like card-based battle systems because, you know, you're dealing with an RPG, plus you're dealing with the RNG of the cards, and I found them very frustrating. So when all these
cards, there's a new game coming out next week.
So when all these deck builders get announced, and I'm like, I don't like deck building, and I'm aware that in the past I've said I've liked like Magic the Gathering Arena and Hearthstone before, but that's all
not
those
the
games.
Same. Yeah, that's not a roguelike. That's a trading card game.
Mm-hmm. So I
we loved Moonbrook. Or was it Moon? Not Moonbrook. Oh, yeah. Moon Isle.
Moonstone Island. Yeah.
Moonstone Island. Was, oh, man. I got Moonbrook on the head. But yes, that was card based.
Yeah.
But no, I get it in general.
In general.
Fair enough. Fair point.
But then Vampire Crawlers comes along, and it's like, well, I put hundreds of hours into Vampire Survivors. Let's give this deck builder a whirl. And yeah, you can make some insane combos, because you pick your crawler. It's the same characters from Vampire Survivors that start with the same weapons. And the weapons kind of do different things. Like the daggers are very low damage, but they hit really fast and hit often. The axes can kind of do an AoE attack that hits the whole line at once. Some of them have different modifiers, like the garlic disarms enemies so that you're not getting hit as hard in between turns. And then as you're going through the dungeon, you get little gem modifiers to enhance the cards. So you can have them hit twice as hard, or you can have them get returned to your hand after you use them. So you kind of get crazy combos that way. And one of the earliest relics you get in the game basically rewards you for playing cards in numerical order. So you start out with a zero mana card, and then you play a one mana card, and then two and three, and so on. So, like, last night I was having a combo where a bunch of my low-level cards were giving me extra mana. So, a one mana, a two mana for the zero and one mana cost. So I'm building up a lot of mana at the beginning of the turns, and then my two, three, and four mana cost cards are the ones that are doing the damage. So I build up the combo, giving myself a bunch of mana, and then just obliterating the enemy line with the damage cards. Am I making any sense?
Sure.
And it's like really satisfying because you get some crazy stuff happening, especially as you start adding gems to cards that increase your hand size or what else? Just the gem modifiers are what make the game so fun because of the combinations that you can come up with, have them do extra damage or give you extra gold or whatnot. And one of the, you unlock the Tarot Arcana like in Vampire Survivors.
Yeah.
Well, I found a tarot card that gives me one extra mana per every 100 cards played.
Okay.
So you get into a long dungeon. You start out the game with like 3 mana.
How many mana did you end up with, Kelly?
Like 25.
Oh my gosh.
Plus the cards that were giving me extra.
Played 2,500 cards then.
You could do
2,200, I guess.
I mean, you just do insane combos, and if you're not even really caring about building the combo, when you have that much mana, you can just hit the X button to throw all the cards into your hand at once.
Perfect. Literally throwing hands.
Yeah.
Your hands of cards.
Random BS, go. But like later on in the game, when you're facing really high difficulty bosses, you need to kind of build up the combo. There's wild cards that you can get that can build up the combo without actually doing the increment. So like you throw in that wild card in there, suddenly instead of 250 damage, you're doing like 1,000 damage. As an example. And it's just been neat playing around with all the different combinations. And the cards evolve just like they do in Vampire Survivors. So you can get upgraded versions of like the axe or the holy water or whatnot. And it just... I was having trouble getting into it first because like, oh, I'm just throwing my cards at things. And then in later dungeons, specifically the bridge, which you remember the bridge level in the original Vampire Survivors,
yeah.
I hope.
Yes.
There's a bridge
it's side scrolling.
Like,
it's weird. Yeah.
It's just one long line of a boss, or not really boss gauntlet, but like high level enemies. You're not doing a lot of exploring in that level. So you're basically kind of just taking what cards you get thrown and are pulling your combos out of that. And that level is kind of your DPS check. Because, you know, I'd unlocked everything in the two levels previously. And that was when I finally sort of, it sort of clicked to me that like, okay, I really need to try to do the one mana, two mana, three combo to build up my damage to get through this. And once I kind of figured it out, all of a sudden the huge dungeons that unlock after that were cakewalks for the most part. I mean, there are optional bosses that you fight, and there are some like every floor in the dungeon has a boss that you have to defeat, and they can throw cards in your deck that are like confusion, like confusion cards. Change the mana amount for each of your cards, or like junk cards get thrown into your inventory, but if you use them, they turn into real cards. And the game just keeps throwing stuff at you, and it's been a blast to play through so far, and a blast at only $10.
Nice.
So now I'm curious about other deck builders like Slay of the Spire and Balatro.
Those are two Love very Balatro. Different deck builders.
I'm a total Balatro whore, so I can't wait for you to get into Balatro.
There's a chess knockoff of Balatro that just came out this week.
I don't want that.
Oh. I mean, Cal, it looks really interesting, play... but they... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't play those deck builders very much, but those two, yeah, those were good.
I've heard good things.
And have you ever done Monster Train?
No.
That's a fun one.
Andy's done Monster Train.
I think Monster Train 2.
It is out.
So,
yeah. On Game Pass 2.
I can't remember if I told this story, but I thought that Monster Train was a monster collection game. Hmm. It's not. It's about a monster train.
The choo-choo?
Yes, the choo-choo train. Monster Train. So, yeah, that's all. It's on Apple Arcade, and I really enjoy playing it, and I like get super into it for like 4 days, and then I stop playing it for 3 weeks, and then I come back to it.
It does have a sequel, yes.
It is, yeah. So I believe Monster Train 2 is in early access right now.
No, I think it's out.
Oh, it's out? Okay.
Yeah, it's out.
But it's not on Apple Arcade.
No, it wouldn't be.
No, that's probably
true. But I think it's on Game Pass, so you can play it on Xbox.
Why would I do that when I want to play it on my iPad?
I'm giving you an option to play the game. That's all I can do. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your
It's been
optioning.
Out a full year now. Maybe we'll get your iOS.
Yeah, maybe we'll get an iOS.
It came out initial release May 21st of 2025.
Huh.
I knew I played the first one last summer because I picked it up on all the sales when 2 came out with all the DLC. And I will say Balatro, I put about 15 hours in. I made my couple successful runs, and I was able to walk away without getting addicted. Same with Slay the Spire. I got to the end a couple times, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to kill myself. But I will say Monster Train, I made sure my end game was leveling up every race, including the DLC ones, to maximum. Like, I put time into that.
And I guess I don't hate deck builders as much as I thought I did, because I also realized I played through Inscription. Does that count?
I would say so.
I think so, yeah. Inscription counts.
See, you guys keep saying Monster Train, and all I keep thinking of is, and this is the story time presenter in me, the Good Morning Train. So I keep singing it as, the Monster Train is coming, how are you? Rah, rah! The Monster Train is coming, how are you? Rah, rah!
I don't know what's happening
I gotta
anymore.
Try that with the kids.
Boy.
I discovered one another Inscription type game recently called Forbidden Solitaire, where the premise is that you find this banned solitaire game from the 90s at a thrift store, and it starts messing with you. But that's neither here nor there. Point is, Vampire Crawlers is very good.
I'm glad you're having a good time.
Yeah, I finished Monster Hunter Stories 3 and wanted just kind of a small palate cleanser type game.
Well, and that's it. That's one of the reasons why I keep Balatro around on my PS5. It's just once in a while I'm like, I got 10 minutes to kill before dinner or something. You do a run, you know, and then you could just put it down.
Mm-hmm.
It was also why Power Wash Simulator was also up there for, you know, excellent time waster.
I need to get the Adventure Time DLC for 2.
There's Adventure Time DLC for 2?
Yeah.
I'm sold.
And they just announced Star Wars DLC.
I know. Scott was like, so you're going to buy Power Wash Simulator 2 so that you can clean X-Wings? And I was like, we'll see.
And make sure you get your Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy DLC because they're getting delisted.
No!
All right. I think it is time for feedback because it actually dovetails quite nicely into this conversation.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
So our question of the week last week was, what is the game that you're not allowed to go back to? Krull says, I have had to delete Slay the Spire off of my phone a few times. After a while, I start thinking, surely I could just dip back in. Then eventually realize it has consumed me once again and I have to delete it. Great game, will install again. Strawberry Egg says, I've never played Fire Emblem Heroes and never will. I'm sorry. Fire Emblem Heroes! There we go. I feel that either I would be majorly disappointed with it, or conversely, would be so addicted to getting my favorite characters that I would waste too much money on it. I won't allow myself to even try it. Yeah, I think that's pretty valid. If it's like, yeah, I can see myself completely falling down this rabbit hole. I could see just like opting out. All right. So our question of the week is going to be
Street Fighter.
Right. We were asking about going to see the Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter movies?
Will the Street Fighter movie be good, I think?
I think it will be.
I mean, yeah. We're mostly asking if you're going to go see them. And if you have gone and seen the Mortal Kombat movie, tell us if you liked it or not. So, we will repeat that again at the end of the podcast. But remember, if you want to leave us feedback, there is a few ways to do that. One, you can head to rpgamer.com. I know, crazy going to a website. Find the latest podcast thread, drop a reply underneath the show. You can head over to rpgamer.com/discord, join our Discord, and leave us a comment in the podcast channel. Or if you are listening / watching us on YouTube. Hi, hello, YouTube. You can just leave a comment under the video. So, thank you. You know what time it is. It's time for the news!
This just in.
Well, hey, speaking of game preservation and lack thereof, if you want the original base version of Outer Worlds, you better get it now, because it's getting delisted. The only available one that is going forward is the Spacer's Choice Edition, which I guess is the game of the year.
Does this matter? What's wrong with having only the better one available?
I don't know. I didn't play Outer Worlds. Sam, I know you did.
I mean, to be honest, I don't know why this is being delisted, other than I think they're giving people the more improved one with all the DLC.
Are they upgrading them, though?
Think so, because they literally like 2-ish years ago put out that definitive edition before they'd put out 2, but
actually there's a whole comment. Oh man, this is weird. Okay, the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch versions of the game are not impacted by the delisting. However, there'll be some changes to the DLC and Spacer's Choice Edition upgrade option. After May 27th, those wishing to upgrade to the Spacer's Choice Edition from the base game on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 will need to own the base game and both the Peril on Gorgon and Murder on Eridanos DLC. But if they do, the upgrade will be free. However, if they could also just... I don't know. There's another option that just... paying either the upgrade price or the full I don't get it. Pricing adjustments will also see the base game down to $25 and expansion pass down to $15 on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So it sounds like there's a lot happening about a game nobody really seems to care about anymore.
Sounds right.
Hey, and the sequel's out already, and people don't care about that either. So, like, what are we even doing here?
I mean, like, half the time, I'll only buy the base game instead of the Game of the Year edition because I want to buy the game extremely cheap. I mean, talking like pennies on the dollar kind of cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But, not if it's delisted. This is our terrible digital future.
Yep. Pretty much.
This is the future I wanted. I asked for this. It's my fault.
I'm okay with it, Chris. You and me. We're fine.
I just don't have room for it all.
I'm not going to play it all. I'm not going to go back and
exactly.
play
it all. Exactly. They're cleaning up. They're Marie Kondoing my backlog for me.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good way to think of it.
Control Resonant has its new Game Plus details revealed. You'll be able to restart the game with various aspects carried over while facing some stronger challenges. So just a new Game Plus. Your standard new game plus. Am I the only one excited for Control Resonant?
I thought it was out already, is it not?
No.
Oh, okay. I want to play through Control again. I was thinking about that this past week, actually, because I never finished. So I was like, do I like find my game save or just start over? And I realized, yeah, I would just start over, I think.
I would start over because that game's effed up enough that you kind of need to pay attention.
Yeah.
But looking forward to the sequel, it looks more effed up. Anyway. Death Howl is receiving its rebirth update. Speaking of card games, Souls-like deck-building RPG. Oh, all the buzzwords. Rebirth mode is available after completing the initial playthrough and gives enemies new abilities and extra health. So another new game plus / challenge mode added after you finish the initial game. I don't think any of us has played Death Howl.
No, none of us have played it, but they've done a lot of marketing and PR about it, so it comes up a lot on the show.
Yeah, it's on my wish list because it looked interesting. But moving on. For those of you that missed out on getting the Frostbell Saga, Trails from Zero and Trails to Azure, because they kind of sold out pretty fast and are hard to find now, their 2-pack is coming to PS5 and Switch 2 with both games.
Yay, Randy!
Yes.
That's what I care about. Mm-hmm. I can have trophies with Randy. Was that a sex euphemism? Oops.
The Switch 2 version will have mouse support, apparently.
Mouth support?
Mouse support.
Oh.
Sorry.
Mouse.
Okay.
Mouse.
Squeak, squeak.
Right, yeah. Because the Switch 2 controller can be the world's least ergonomic mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get to be excited for this because I enjoy these games, a lot of people on staff, and it made me sad that they got hard to find unless you bought them digitally.
So they weren't hard to find then?
Yep.
Yeah.
You just had to buy them digitally.
Hey, Chris and I are still in the digital future. Nothing's hard to find.
Right. No.
It's all good.
I was trying to add some flavor text.
That's fine. No, that's fine.
Yeah. So, moving on. For the King 2 gets new Into the Wild DLC and a free update. Strategy RPG / board game hybrid is what this game is. Every time I see the name of this game, I just think of Hearthstone because of the For the King thing. But regardless, the DLC is $8 and adds 2 new playable characters, and then there's a free content update with a new playable treasure hunter character, a dungeon crawl mode, and leaderboards. Once again, I don't think any of us play For the King 2, so there we go. Stranger than Heaven has had its details and cast revealed. Is this the new Yakuza?
Yes.
So they're playing in 1915 San Francisco? Is that where this takes place?
It looks like it takes place
everywhere.
Yeah, across time.
Across time. Where did I get San Francisco? Ports of ships in San Francisco. Oh, traveling back to the mother's homeland of Japan. Okay.
Ham says not the Yakuza one, which I'm like, what are we talking about, the Yakuza one?
I mean, it's the Ryuga Gotoku studio. So it's like,
is it that studio, or is it from the dude?
No, it's the studio.
It's the studio? Okay. And they're doing a game that is not Yakuza.
He left and he was making his own game, and then he can't make his own game anymore because he wants $50 million.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he was just making Yakuza.
Yeah.
So that's the weird part. Like, he left to make the game that they're making.
Like, the thing that helps Yakuza as a series not be $50 million a game.
They've got a whole pipeline. Like, they've they did a lot
really
of work
judicious to reuse of assets.
They did a lot of work also for localization and streamlining and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And like, if you don't have all of that baseline, video game development can be really expensive.
Well, it is. Mm-hmm. And then you build this baseline to make it less expensive, but still expensive, but not as. Why did he do? I still don't. So what's this one about? I got there eventually. It's a dude in a hat.
It follows young boy Makoto Daito, who boards a ship in San Francisco, seeking to travel his mother's homeland of Japan.
Okay, so we're going
his rise to he's coming back. He's coming back to the homeland.
And what era?
Oh, it starts in
1915 and end in 1965.
Oh, okay. Yep. So it's all period. That's neat.
So he's a master showman. So
he's an entertainer.
That was a euphemism. He's entertainment. Yeah.
So it's like Majima, but like with less fighting.
Mm-hmm. So the 1929, he's in a port town dominated by Japan's Navy and various Yakuza organizations.
Mm.
And in 43, he's in Osaka during the tensions of World War II.
Is this one just going to be a real downer? Are we not going to go on side quests about chickens? Is this?
I mean, the Yakuza games always have, to some degree, pretty heavy mainline plots.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
The way that this is being addressed doesn't seem that different from Yakuza itself. It's all of the little mini stories that give the levity, like the Michael Jackson stuff.
Oh, man, there you go. Picture 8, you're back in Kamurocho. Probably in the 1960s there.
Will there be a boss fight with a tiger?
There better be.
I was going to say, time will tell.
Animal protection laws were much lower back then.
Kelly,
I'm sure
Kelly, there's... You guys are all...
And a tiger?
No. You're all missing it. You have the opportunity here for a boss fight with a train.
I mean, I had a boss fight with the steam shovel and, actually like a dragon, so...
Are we going to suplex the train?
We should be able to.
I just don't want any more Zumbas to throw coffee at me again.
Roombas.
I've been traumatized. Thank you. Roombas to throw coffee at me anymore. I've been traumatized.
I feel like I only want Roombas to throw coffee at me. Let's have more coffee in our Yakuza.
I could use coffee right now.
Darling, the next time that you ask me why I don't want to play video games with you anymore, I'm going to circle back to this.
Because I want coffee in them? How dare.
You said because you want coffee thrown at me.
Not at you. I said, not you specifically.
Uh-huh.
No, I call foul. There should be a statute of limitations where you at least try to play a game with me occasionally and see if I've reformed. Because, you know, I care about you enough to try and not be mean during a game once or twice. You can trust me.
Grayson plays video games with me nicer than you.
That is
untrue. He literally calls himself a chaos gremlin.
That is untrue and you know it. I've seen
him. He pops my bubble in wonder and you would never.
I do pop. Well, I mean, no, I didn't pop your bubble because you were going to just die and screw it up.
Uh-huh.
You've seen how he does. I am better. Oh, the rivalry I have with your nephew.
Hey, Cal, tell us about Raven's Watch.
It's getting a Switch 2 version and a free update. By the way, secrets to a successful marriage: don't play video games together.
Bull. Play more video games together.
That's how you and Vaughn met.
Well, but that's successful dating, not successful.
Wait, isn't that how Sam and Scott met?
Nope.
Okay. I couldn't remember if that was like a thing for you guys too.
There are some things that work when you're courting that don't work, you know, 10 years later.
Like playing video games. Yes, because
when we're courting, it's all picnic baskets. Oh, yeah. But as soon as we get married, it's throw me in the goddamn lava.
Well, that's because you're family now.
Like, I've said, I would never play, like, Power Wash Simulator with you because you would just mess things up. And he's like, yep, you're right.
Andy makes up what I would do to him in video games at this point, and then tells me that's why he won't play with me. And I'm like, I didn't even think about that. But now that you thought of it, yeah, I'd probably try it once.
We got together because of games. Predicting the future. And yeah, he confirms got together because of games. We also worked in the same office.
Mm.
I think that contributed it a little bit more. And yeah, Vaughn says that he would draw dicks with the power washer.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So, where was I?
Raven's Watch.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, Raven's Watch is getting a Switch 2 version and a free update. This is a top-down action roguelike I've never heard of.
But I've heard of it. Yeah, roguelike, Diablo-ish sort of thing.
I've heard of it because I feel like the last couple of times that we've done news stories about Raven's Watch, we've all gone, does anyone even remember what this game is?
You're finally starting to remember.
So you're remembering having to remember this game.
Something like that, yeah.
Memories of the game.
Do you remember the time when we covered Raven's Watch? Do you remember the time we looked at
this? This next story is for you.
Uh-oh.
Path of Exile 2 is getting a Return of the Ancients update.
Oh. So this thing, okay.
This is the final update before the 1.0 launch.
Cool. Let me know when the 1.0 is out.
Okay.
I decided
like that answer.
I'm
good
just,
answer. Good
I,
answer.
I have
Everybody
enough.
Has to applaud like we're on Family Feud. Good answer. Good
I have enough of this. These games. I can't keep up on your early access. Like, there's skills to develop when you're playing these games, and like, I only have so, you know, forget it. I've got my cow game. I'm good. Go away.
Earlier this week, before Chris went away on the work trip, turns to me and says, "You have to feed the cats tonight. It's my time of the month."
I was a werewolf and I had to do my werewolf quest. It's the only time I was a full moon. It's the time of the month where I'm a wolf and I'm stuck as a wolf and I gotta do wolf things.
Can I interject?
Yes.
We should have an RP Gamer Family Feud game night
with the
1987 Family Feud.
Write that down. Who's going to kiss all the ladies?
Extra Life.
Oh, that does sound like an Extra Life.
Because, my God, Abandonware has the one I played as a child. And it makes me so happy because everyone's so creepy looking in it. I'm like,
it's probably the one that I played too.
Where they like their heads and their mouths don't look like they align properly. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God, we need to do this somehow. Let us know if you would support us playing Ye Old Family Feud.
This sounds like fun.
Especially when the questions are, again, they're from the 80s. So it's things like, you know, what would your wife say when, you know, oh, I don't even.
We surveyed 100 people on the streets of New York and we asked them, what is one thing you make sure to bring with you when you travel?
Yep. Something like that.
Yep. I watch a game show streamer, so we watch lots of Family Feud and other shows like it.
I have a huge love of the Family Feud and I love Jeopardy. I'm not good at either, but I love them both.
So, Chris, is 1.0 going to be free? Or do you know? For
I don't know, actually. Are you asking, are they going to go free to play once 1.0 hits?
Yeah.
Because it's not free to play right now? Yeah, I don't have an answer to that. So the good thing about being addicted to Project Gorgon right now is that I've completely disconnected from PoE news and community and streaming, and I haven't been, like, staying absolutely up to date on all the knowledge. So,
okay.
I just don't have answers for you, except the one thing I can guarantee you is there will be a very, very large skill tree and probably more than one.
Yeah. So, I've heard as such.
They have the druid now, so, you know, turn into a bear.
But that
or
was
a dragon.
That was all of the regular news. Now for the new releases. Guild Wars 2 Visions of Eternity, the only way update, is launching next week.
What does that mean?
I
can't keep up with Guild Wars 2 expansions. Like, do they have full expansions? Or are they just little content packs? Is it a combination?
This is a content pack. Adds 5 chapters of the expansion story, taking place to the Eternity Gardens map. Also adds 2 new mastery tiers, 6 new expansion relics, new legendary accessories, etc., etc. So you can look forward to that if you're a Guild Wars player. Stone Machia is releasing later this month, specifically on May 26th. Let's see. There's a demo currently out for on Steam right now. And world inspired by Italian art and folklore. It's the best summary I can
this
come up with.
This is a weird looking one, right?
Yeah. Oh, here's exciting news. Mina the Hollower is coming out finally.
Oh, the Shovel Knight people have their game.
Yes.
Yay.
May 29th.
Yeah. I love it. There was some reference somewhere from one of the staff where it was like trailer, underscore version 5, underscore final, underscore version 6. And that was like their whole post. And so, it was just cracking me up seeing that.
This is more akin to a Link to the... Which one is the Game Boy one again? Link's Awakening?
So this is very much like Link's Awakening, having a baby with a Metroidvania, go forth and explore.
I want this game to do good because I've heard that Yacht Club Games isn't doing well. Is that rumor?
I have no info. No idea.
Okay. Maybe it was just a rumor. Anyway... May 29th for $20. I might pick this up. We shall see. And then Meg's Monster is available on mobile. This was kind of the cozy game about a big monster and a little girl. And if the little girl cries...
No, you're thinking of the movie Monsters, Inc.
No, that's this game.
Oh, okay.
If the little girl cries, the world ends.
Gotcha.
So your monster character is like huge and powerful, but the little girl character is tiny and weak. So you gotta, the random battles involve kind of figuring out how to protect her efficiently. This sounds like a game you would have played, Sam.
It's one I've been meaning to look at. I played one of their other games a while back, the Snowman Story one, which I thought was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want that much responsibility on, you know, making sure a child doesn't cry, considering I already have to do that in my day job.
A good point.
Feel that one.
Yeah.
I do have context for the Mina the Hollower thing.
Okay.
Because I remember in December when they, like, delayed the game.
Remember the delay in September.
So, well, it got delayed in September and then delayed in December and then, like, at the start of this year, they pushed it out, I think, a little bit. And then it was like, yeah, now we have a release date. So their whole thing was basically all of their capital has gone into this game. If it sells less than 100,000 copies, they're pretty cooked. If they sell at least 200,000 copies, they'll break even. If they sell 500,000 copies... there'll be 500,000 copies or more to be golden, as they put it. This game is going to sell like 1,000,000 copies the first 48 hours. Like, I don't know why there's... Yeah.
Unless there's like, it's like terrible, or if there's a game-breaking bug or something, I highly doubt that it's not going to do like gangbusters.
Yeah. So.
But I've seen stranger things happen.
Yeah, so we'll see if
I haven't. I don't have HBO.
That's actually Netflix.
That's Netflix, Chris.
Netflix. Dang it! I messed up the joke. But you know what's worse? I do have HBO. I don't have Netflix, so it would have been more honest too.
But that was all the new release dates. Now, do we have new releases?
I found one game called Clockwork Ambrosia. That's a Metroidvania coming out this week for PC. It's all like
interesting.
Hold on, I didn't check the sidebar. Let's double check. Our sidebar is pretty awesome. Alex is great at this.
Quartet is coming to the Nintendo Switch this week.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Nitro Gen Omega.
That is going broad, I think.
No, it looks like it's the full release first time.
Tactical RPG, fighting against a world ruled by rogue AI.
Hey, fighting AI is the enemy.
PS5, Xbox Series S and X, and Nintendo Switch.
This look like we've had some trailers before on this. It's very anime.
So this was in Steam Early Access.
Oh, I remember this.
For a year.
This is the one where you're picking the fighting words you use. That as what your
right.
power is.
Okay.
All right. Then we have editorial content.
Did you write something, Sam?
It's actually not on the list, but I wrote three things, apparently.
So we have the Kingdom's Return Time Eating Fruit and the Ancient Monster review from Elena Ng. Matt, am I crazy or are they aping not Life is Strange, Fantasy Life with the font on that logo?
I think so.
Which one are we talking about? The
Kingdom's Return.
I think that's font has been around the block for a few different games.
It just kind of has that look.
That whole logo definitely looks like Fantasy Life, yeah.
Also, shout out to Elena, who has been doing like a lot of behind the scenes organization of things lately. If you have been enjoying the increase in features and stuff lately, be sure to swing by the Discord and say thank you to Elena.
Yes,
also she's been on two of our episodes or two backtracks. She's going to join us next time for a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Yep. Talk about jumping into a lot of things on the site.
We love it.
But as far as this game, it has gorgeous graphics, cool character classes, a cheerful, lighthearted presentation, and more side-scrolling content. The negatives, limited city building capabilities, not much strategy for a strategy game, repetitive missions and dungeons, minimal interactions with NPCs in the world, and underdeveloped story and characters. So might want to skip this one. I guess they were trying for a ActRaiser dynamic and it didn't work from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it was not great.
Sounds like it. Scottfold Moonless Night, a review from Jordan. What is this about?
The Metroidvania that tries to blend Japan and Japanese like folklore, but also make it Lovecraftian, I believe.
Yeah, and it didn't do well. It got a 1.5 out of 5.
That's pretty low. Wow.
Yeah, this is the week of a lot of really, really bad to okay games ended up on the site. Mm-hmm. With, I would say, the exception of the two adventure corners.
Yeah, so interesting story concepts. Guard system is interesting, but a lazy script full of typos, stiff and clunky controls, subpar and jagged visuals, banal, aimless progression, and no secrets or intrigue in the world.
You know, normally I just hate lazy as a descriptor for anything when it comes to video game development, because video game development is hard and getting a game out at all is like an amazing feat. But also, having read this review, wow, that really does feel like a lazy script full of typos.
Yeah.
I felt for Jordan. He went from having a bunch of bangers to this turd. So everybody's got to take a turd once in a while.
He hasn't quit. That's the thing that excites all of us that are like senior staffers.
We're just like, oh my god, he's okay playing a bad game. We're good. This is good.
Then Gunpool Gunman's Proof retro review from Ryan Radcliffe.
Ryan Radcliffe guy.
Super Nintendo game. He gave this a 3.0 out of 5. Positives, Robotron, that's what it says. Fast-paced combat, fast-paced combat, negatives, the game feels like copyright infringement and no Western release. So I guess this was supposed to be like Robotron, but with a cowboy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd play the shit out of this. I'm not going to lie.
Because the screenshots make it look like Legend of Zelda. But whatever.
It's like, what if Legend of Zelda, but cowboys?
Yeah.
Is the impression that I got watching him stream this on our Twitch channel every Friday and every Tuesday beginning at 5:30 Eastern.
Woo woo.
So, Sam, do you want to talk about your adventure corners?
Yeah, sure. So the first one that we have on the list is Lost and Found Co., which is a really fun and animated hidden object game where you play a ducky and a dragon axolotl, and you help people find their belongings only to, you know, build a sense of community because the corpo overlords want to destroy your shrine and put condominiums on top of it. It's really fun, and I quite enjoyed it. It has some flaws. Like, the hint system is, it's mostly okay, but definitely you'll get some hints where you're like, I have no clue what it's referring to. There's a good challenge level, and just in general, like I love hidden object games. Andy got me into the Snark Busters series, like, years ago, to the point where I played them with my mom. But I like having a bit of creativity in my hidden object game, right? So this one, because it actually tells a full-length story and everything, I quite enjoyed it. And then the second one is Homura, the Crimson Warriors, which is a sexy ninja otome game. Which, yeah, I love otome games, sexy ninja boys. The only thing that sucks about this one is they tried to add some bizarro, like, ninja system for choices. Like, are you going to hide behind, like, the crate, or are you going to jump out and, like, stab the guy? Those choices don't matter. They don't add anything. They're not interesting. But the boys are pretty good. I would say, like, it's like a 3.5 out of 5 in terms of, like, the boys. So, I shouldn't rate boys that way. It's not appropriate, but in otome games, it makes sense.
You like big boys?
Yeah.
Itty-bitty boys?
Yeah.
Bitty boys?
Sure.
I forget the rest of the song. Never mind.
I like boys. I like girls. So, yeah, no. Again, if you like otome games, it's a new one from Idea Factory International. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. And do I have to talk about the other one that's not on the list there, Kelly, but it will take 2 seconds to do?
Do it.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I reviewed Trazia. We talked about it earlier. It's still shit. I gave it 1.5. Here's the pros and cons. So the pros, most of the cheats are rad. The still art for the cutscenes is nice, except for the part where you see it every freaking chapter and it's the same one over and over again. 1992, limitations. Hilariously bad dialogue, which one of my favorite lines in Trazia is, I asked for a boat and all I got was this lousy raft. Because the game's like, we want a boat. And then the guy's like, sure, I'll make you a boat. He's like, oh, I only had time for a raft. And I'm like, what the shit is this? I asked for a boat. The negatives, still has terrible controls, terrible combat. And the sound mixing and soundtracks are awful. So, again, yay for game preservation. No to Trazia.
You saying they shouldn't have preserved it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, no.
Also, I got puppy kisses while I was ranting. That's very nice.
Oh, that's nice. I knew you Willow, were upset.
Did you suffer Trazia with me? Did you sleep through
it? You gotta go to a doctor if you got the Trazia.
I know, right? Ugh, it's a bad disease. Thank you, Scar, more like Trashia. Yeah. We have one more title to talk about as well. Kelly!
Yes?
Tell us about the last one.
Adventure Academia, the Fractured Continent Deep Look from Michael Baker.
So, we had a hilarious conversation about this on the Discord because
yes, we did.
He was playing it in Japanese, and in Japan it has a totally different name. So when he went to figure out, like, do we actually cover this game? We had to go through the screenshots and figure out what game it was in North America. And yeah. I've played it, and the entire deep look is 100% bang on. This game is just not good.
No.
Look, the games in that particular family, they're not good.
I wanted to like them so bad because I like a good dungeon crawler, but they...
Yeah, I 5-hour rolled this because it was just like, I thought I was going to enjoy this. The screenshots all looked really interesting, and the gameplay is bad. The UI is bad. The music is bad. The dialogue is bad. There's just no part of this game is redeemable. It's just not
Man,
good.
We're playing a lot of those lately. It's almost like, you know, 2026 has been kind of a lame year for video game releases.
Well, and
unless
this
your name is Capcom.
This is an old game. This Fair. Is part of Gaijin got a Steam Deck so that he can play all of his review codes that didn't play on his old laptop, and now he's going through them all. And this was one of them.
I need to have another conversation about self-respect.
Well, you know, last year was such a banger year for games that
Listen, it is self-flagellation for our entertainment, and you dare not stop him.
No, I won't. We all like each other's pain too much.
What did we say on April 1st brings the worst, Matt? You can't appreciate a good game without playing a bad one or two?
That's yeah. I was going to say, yeah, we...
Yeah.
What, did we have a phrase? No, we didn't have a phrase, but there was that, yes. Yep. Gotta play the stinkers to know the great ones.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have good news and bad news.
Uh-oh. What is it?
We are not going to be here next week. No show. Sorry.
No!
We're going to a board game convention with some friends.
It should be really
Yay.
Fun.
That sounds great.
It is Cthulhu-themed. No, wait,
it's
unicorn
Cthulhu
themed.
Versus unicorns.
It's both Cthulhu and they couldn't decide. So it's Cthulhu versus unicorns. So you got to pick a side.
So one of our friends, actually, if you spend any time in the Twitch chat, you probably will recognize the name Sorrel. Sorrel's wife is printing us unicorn horns to wear.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
We are very excited about that.
That's perfect.
Yep. I'm so stoked.
I support.
That'll be fun. This is a different convention, but it's the same gathering with friends we did last year, because we're doing that every year now, it seems. That I got COVID in last year, so hopefully this
Yay!
Time no COVID.
Please no
so
COVID.
Let's see if Chris learns his lesson and wears his mask at the tables.
How many times are you gonna rub that in?
I'm not rubbing it in.
You are taking sandpaper to the wound, salting up your fingers, and then pointedly jamming them in while saying, you're gonna wear your mask at the table, right? Like, you couldn't rub it in better than...
Yeah, I might resemble that remark.
Can you not get your COVID vaccine to help prevent
Well,
that,
first
or?
Of all, we should have done it before now, because, like, we're leaving in 2 days. Second of all, we did get the one last year, so like
we get them every 6 months.
Okay,
so we are very up to date.
Well, except we should have one like right around now.
Yeah, we'll have to do one before we go to Queer in the Middle.
Yeah,
next month. Yeah. So that'll be on our to do list. Which we just need to figure out the timing around my next Skyrizi dose.
Oh man, so you're in charge of making that appointment, maybe.
Yep, I understand. So we'll do that, but not while we're recording a podcast.
Fine.
I know. I'm very particular about these sort of things. So I think that's the end of the show.
Yeah, and our so
before
the
we
end
turn
of our
this
dryer
into medical
cycle
cast,
too.
So thank you, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Kelly.
Of course.
Thank you, Matt.
Happy to be here.
I guess we'll thank Chris.
I don't.
Thank you, Chris.
Aww.
You let me be on here.
Aww. Yay.
Even though you know it's a safety
Turn
hack.
On the explicit tag.
I like to think I was a little calmer.
You did pretty good today, Sam. You did pretty good.
I only had a few dirty words and a few questionable things.
You're not living up to your reputation anymore, Sam. So
you know what? Smile Cookie, you wrecked me.
Yeah, no, that's
and also, you know, just when you work with kids, you have to remind yourself. I need to make up a swear in the moment because I would like to say the other word and can't.
Sam, what are you going to be playing this week?
I'm hoping to play more Quartet because I'm really liking it.
Yay!
And I don't know what else I'm going to start. I haven't thought about it too far.
So right now we're just going to play Quartet. Yuna's ultimate equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Best Eurofant.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, what are you going to play this week?
It's going to depend. My birthday is on Monday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. And I don't know what birthday Santa will bring me.
Birthday Santa?
Yeah.
Some old man with a beard is going to break into your house and give you gifts today?
Yeah, his name's Vaughn.
Birthday Santa.
I was going to say, I guess Vaughn does count since he's 43. And I'm going to be 44. And
she lives with one. I have keys, he says.
He buys me presents. I do know one of my presents is a gargantuan Bahamut figure from WizKids.
Okay.
I'm curious how big it is because the box has been sitting in the living room since like January, and it's a pretty big box.
Ooh, fun.
So that's
oh my gosh. I just live update. I just got sent a picture of my unicorn horn.
Oh, cool.
And the artist has told us that their craft room now has craft herpes.
You mean glitter?
Glitter was involved, yes.
Yes. Mm.
That makes sense.
Should I give my gargantuan Bahamut craft herpes?
Oh!
Put glitter on him?
That's a decision you gotta make.
You could bedazzle it.
This all sounds amazing, and I look forward to future updates.
Rhinestone Bahamut.
Yeah, no, it'll be bedazzle the Bahamut, so that he has extra sparkle. Everyone that works into bedazzling right now, I don't know why.
Matt, save us. What are you going to be playing this week?
Oh, I'm going to be playing Pacopia.
Okay. Chris, are you going to play anything other than Project Gorgon?
No. Yeah, I'm going to play board games.
Right.
I have no choice. I'll be at a table without a computer. That's well, true. I might have the computer, but I won't be playing this. That's for sure.
I'm going to be playing Elementalists and doing board game convention stuff when I feel well enough to do so. So, and hanging out with friendos. So yay. I'm excited. Sorry we will miss next week. We hope you enjoy the time off, and we will be returning in 2 weeks on May 23rd. And thank you, Dale North, for our awesome theme music. Thank you, Forecast, for our encoding. And thank you, dear listener. We wouldn't be anywhere without you.
Did we thank Ed Walker for no reason? We should thank Foxworth.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
And we'll see you all in 2 weeks. So, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.